Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuniverti. Today's show, the unemployment puzzle. Show number 328 right here on Money Matters, your economic forum. Before we begin, be aware that discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Indices that I may mention today are unmanaged and cannot be invested into directly, and the opinions on this show are my opinions only and do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station, its staff, members, or underwriters. I hold California Insurance License OL34249, and I'm a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. This show is about money. Money Matters is about money, of course, and money does matter, and matters money affect us all in some way or another. Whether you have a lot of it, a little of it, or none of it, it controls our economy, our country, our planet, in some way or another, controls the very way we live our lives. It's about your money, your lack of it, or abundance of it. It's about our lives and our livelihood. And in short, it's about you. So about the last 2 months or so, the Dow's kind of been stalling out. Do you get that sort of feeling? You know, we monitor a lot of portfolios that I look at, and different index funds, and they seem to be just kind of going up and then going down and going up and going down. Now, the good news is the country is reopening. That's kind of nice to see. The infection rates are dropping, at least here in the United States, obviously, but of course overseas, India has some real problems in Brazil, but they are dropping here and there. I talked to somebody that had been over to Europe, says Europe is still mostly shut down. So they're not as open as we are as far as opening up to the economy. Stock market, again, is kind of just kind of stalling out, you know, between 33,000 and almost 35,000. Gold wasn't going anywhere and then looked like to start going somewhere. So we'll see about that. And of course, they have the Bitcoin fiasco. If I get time, I'll go over what I think about Bitcoin. But boy, what a fiasco that is, huh? My opinion only, of course, not a recommendation to buy or sell the stuff. So today is the show 328, the unemployment puzzle. So I'd like to start by, you know, explaining what I mean by the title of the show. We talked a little bit about this, I think, on the last show, and I've written a few articles on this. The unemployment level is 6%. And by the Bureau of Labor Statistics. Now, they measure different levels of unemployment, but the most popular one that we hear about is the U6, and it's saying that unemployment's running around 6%. Now, Jerome Powell, your Fed chief, Federal Reserve chief, said it's more like 10%. And I don't know about your town, but in my town, there are help wanted signs everywhere. And on CNBC, a national news program, they did a piece on it saying that companies can't find workers, which would be odd in the fact that it's 6% unemployment. Now, normally unemployment runs around 4%. So at 6, we are, you know, up by normal unemployment by about 50%. Now, there was some surveys done. Now, the general idea that I put out there is that the unemployment payments from the EDD, the COVID bonuses on unemployment, way back, I think, in May and June, were $600 a week on top of whatever they would give you for what salary you were making. So the minimum you could get was $2,400 a month, plus a portion of whatever you were making. So that was a lot of money, and of course, what I put forth is it's probably allowing a lot of people to stay home. They don't want to work, because if you're getting unemployment, and you're getting any other substantive payments from the government or whoever, you know, you could be clearing some sort of cash equivalent of $4,500 a month, which is good rates for a lot of people. A lot of people don't make that much. So I'd put forth that was part of the problem. Some of the other answers for why people were not working is they were afraid for COVID, of course. And one of the other answers was that the wages offered weren't paying enough. Now, that's interesting. So I penned an article, well, years ago, I came up with the term wage osmosis or economic osmosis. And back then, I started on the massage industry, where in the United States, the Chinese massage parlors, the normal ones, we're opening up and offering foot massages, at least here, for $20 and hour massages for $25. And the going rate at that time, here in Nevada County, in California, was $60 to $80. So what I found is that I said, the osmosis of wages, now that we had the Chinese coming in and doing massage for $25, and the going rate was $85, we would see wage osmosis. Now, as you know, osmosis is what makes the concentrated coffee turn into coffee in a glass of water, or you pour warm water into cold water and you get lukewarm water, or it's the thing that spreads out, you know, soup in a soup mix in water. It dissipates so everything becomes even again. So you put a spoon of concentrated soup mix in a bucket of water, and you don't end up with concentrated soup mix floating around in water. You end up with soup because it migrates into the whole soup. So that's called osmosis. As long as there's nothing separating them like oil and water, of course, you don't see osmosis there because they're two different mediums. They won't blend together. So I put forth that the wage for massage in Nevada County was going to land somewhere between what the Chinese wage was, $25, and the Nevada County wage, which was, let's say, $60 to $80. So anytime the two got together, the Chinese would be swamped, and the other people would have no business, so the Chinese would find out they could raise their rates, and the local massage people would find out they'd have to lower their rates, and we would get osmosis at some sort of going wage in between the two. So wage osmosis is, I use the example in my recent articles, that wage osmosis will not occur if you have two countries isolated from each other. So you could have the Chinese over in China giving massages for $25 and people here giving them for $80 until such a time where one of them goes to the other place, merges the two societies. At this point, the lower wage people will see their wages increase as they find out they can raise their wages. And the higher wage people will see their wages drop as they have to compete. Wage osmosis. Now, I was going to correlate that wage osmosis now away from the massage and into the theme of the recent Money Matters radio show and articles I penned a few weeks back, where I stated that the high unemployment rate in America, businesses are still having difficulty finding available workers. And I drew the conclusion, as I mentioned earlier, that the scarcity of workers, despite a high unemployment rate, was because of the generous unemployment benefits being paid by the EDD, the Employment Development Department, due to our friend COVID-19. Interestingly enough, the United States was pushing for $15 an hour minimum wage, and it was highly debatable. Oh, we should do it. Or a lot of people said, no, we can't do it. We can't afford it. Some people say it would cause inflation. Other people said that $15 was a minimum. We have to go national. That was a political hotbed. But now, with the unemployment payments, I think the need to mandate this minimum wage of $15 may be slowly disappearing because of wage osmosis occurring as a result of the higher bonus payment. So what do I mean by that? Well, imagine a city that's paying an average of $10 an hour. An ABC company, a fictional company, moves in and offers $12 an hour. Just like the Chinese massages, the city is unable to find enough workers, like the Nevada County masseuses at $80 an hour. So they're now forced to pay a higher wage and somewhere in between, a medium reach, and a new standard wage would develop in our city somewhere between $10 and $12 an hour. Wage osmosis. So since the higher EDD payments are higher than the current wages being offered by small businesses in general, I put forth today that businesses are going to have to pay a higher wage to hire needed employees. They're going to have to pay a higher wage to get people off the couch. Because if they can sit home at $15 an hour, many may not work for $15 an hour. You may even have to pay more than $15 an hour to entice workers to come back to work. Either that or do away with the unemployment bonuses. Now, that brings into conversation the guaranteed basic income. Some people are talking about the guaranteed basic income where everybody, no matter who they are or what they are, they get a basic income. And as a result, if they got a basic income paid for doing nothing, you would again find that people would not work. We might find it hard to get workers. So what does this all bleed down to? It bleeds down to that as a result, unemployment payments and a guaranteed basic income, either of the two, will cause businesses to have to pay higher wages to get workers. So if you've got a basic minimum income guaranteed being made, you know, mailed $2,000 a month to you, you're not going to come off the couch unless maybe the businesses pay $40, $4,000 a month or whatever it is. Now, some people say, well, good, that's a living wage or whatever a living wage is. But there's a hook to that. The hook to that is that if businesses have to pay more money, and they would to get workers to fill their spots, they will pass that higher wage cost on to the consumer in the form of higher prices, which we know as, anyone raise your hand, inflation. Because the government is acting like ABC Company by paying people a higher wage than what was once the previous wage, the government is in essence competing with private businesses for available workers, driving up the wages in the process. Although those collecting unemployment are not working per se, it doesn't matter. The EDD payment is a competitive compensation that is taking workers off the market. Whether they're working, staying home, or going to the river, it doesn't matter. The government is competing for workers by making them non-workers by paying them a lot. The workforce, those not working, are in essence saying, you must pay me a higher wage for me to give up my unemployment checks. Famed investor Jeffrey Gundlach, you may not have known his name, but he's famous or well-known, seems to agree. Gundlach says, quote, people are making more money sitting at home watching Netflix than they are at work, and they don't want to go back. He continues to say, I think one of the dangers we've opened the door to is these stimulus checks are starting to feel like they might not go away, unquote. And that would lead, of course, back to the basic minimum income payment. So both the unemployment payments and, to some degree, COVID, and the basic minimum income or basic guaranteed income payment will do, guaranteed, in my very, very strong opinion, cause inflation. Because one of the types of inflation, there's demand inflation, and there's supply inflation, and there's monetary inflation. One of the inflation causes is wage inflation. That's a nasty one, because wage inflation, if companies have to pay a higher wage, they will raise their prices or do what I call packaging inflation. You know what that is. They keep the box the same, but they put more air in it. As a side note, in a strange way, Washington may no longer need to argue the minimum wage issue. The $15 an hour minimum wage debate seems to be already baked into the cake. It's already well on its way to being a reality through wage osmosis brought about by the higher EDD COVID payments. And I would say that you pay people a basic minimum wage free, it's going to do the same thing. Now, I have said in past articles and radio shows, where government money goes, so goes inflation. So I've always used the example, I am in a room and I lock the doors with 100 people in the room. And I basically say I've got a Rolex watch and each person in the room is given $1,000 and they cannot combine their money with another person. I offer a $5,000 Rolex. And the highest bid could be $1,000 because that's all one person has and they can't combine. Now I walk through the room and I introduce them to another $2,000 of money, each of them. Now the bid will go higher. So we've seen inflation in the price of my Rolex because of the increase in the money supply, monetary inflation. So anywhere government money goes into a sector, it causes inflation. For instance, healthcare. Now, insurance money went into healthcare, and healthcare skyrocketed. And then the government went into healthcare with Obamacare, and now it's skyrocketed. And the government got into home sales by you doing Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and Jenny Mae loans, backing up the bank loans, and you saw housing go crazy. And then the government is into student loans, loaning trillions of dollars in student loans. And of course, student costs have gone crazy. So anywhere government money goes, inflation follows because government pours in a ton of money into whatever they go into. So anywhere government money goes, inflation goes. And here we see government money going into EDD payments, which is off the charts as far as a total aggregate payment in the United States. The amount that they're paying in unemployment has been off the charts. Off the charts. Where government money goes, so goes inflation. We may already be witnessing this inflation in rising wages. Obviously, we are, because we can't get enough workers. Caused by the massive amounts of money in the form of EDD. Now, I warned many months ago, I think back in June, when they started doing these stimulus payments, EDD and bailouts and loans and paycheck protection programs and all this stuff, I said, you watch, you're going to see a lot of inflation. Now, in 08 or 09, they manufactured about $5 trillion over a period of a couple of years. And most of it went into the banking system. So it didn't go out to the general public. Remember, for you to see inflation, I could manufacture $5 trillion. But if I bury $5 trillion in the dirt, it never got out of the economy, there would be no inflation. Like Mexico. If Mexico would have made all those pesos, but didn't distribute them, just put them in a vault, the Mexican peso would have never crashed. I use Mexican peso because it is the most well-known inflationary destroyed currency. So the money has to go into the system. But in 08 or 09, they did create a lot of money, but they did so in a longer period of time. And outside of $600 stimulus checks, all of it went into the banking system. And in the banking system, remember they said the banks have to get loaning money again? Remember that? That's because the banks got all this money for all their mortgages. The feds took the mortgages themselves and warehoused them. But the banks didn't loan any money out. They did two things with it. They put it into the stock market in share buybacks and investments in the stock market. And they warehoused it at the Fed. So let's take care of the first one first. They did share buybacks and it all went into the stock market. And the stock market did what? Ballooned. Past 2008, 2009, it exploded. Exploded. Doubled two and a half times. That's where it went. And then they also, the banks didn't want to loan the money out. They didn't want to take the risk of loaning the money out because they knew the economy was still risky and the consumer was still risky. So basically what they did is they can return the money to the Federal Reserve under something called excess reserves. So in other words, if they get millions and millions of billions, actually billions of dollars for their mortgages, and they have too much money, they have to maintain a little bit of cash on their balance sheets. But they can park the rest of it. They're allowed to, I think they have to keep like 2 or 3% in cash, even though they have loans of, you know, 97%. They only got to keep a little bit of cash. So they parked it right back at the Fed, and the Feds pay them interest on that money called the Excess Reserves Program. So I'm Bank of Mark, and I have a bunch of mortgages. The Feds give me $100 million for my mortgages, which is small potatoes compared to what they really gave out. I have to keep $3 million on hand as a reserve requirement by the Federal Reserve, saying you got to have at least $3 million in cash, Mark. Okay. But I have an extra $97 million. I don't want to loan it out. So I put it back in the Fed, and the Fed pays me 1% or whatever they pay. So most of that money from 08 and 09 did not go into the consumer market. Ah, fast forward to COVID. Now we've manufactured $6 trillion with another $2 to $4 trillion on the chopping block. And a lot of this did go to the consumer. It's why you see these shopping malls jammed while everybody's not working, or a lot of people aren't working. So all this money did go to the consumer in the form of Paycheck Protection Program, PPP loans, the CARE Act, higher food stamp, food programs, assistance programs, unemployment bonuses. I mean, a lot of this went right to the consumer. And so now the money's being spent, and we are seeing, as you well know, I wrote the inflation articles and did the show months ago and said, it's coming. And ladies and gentlemen, you knew it was here, but we're finally seeing it. In 2 weeks ago, the Bureau of Labor Statistics came out and said it's 4.2% annualized. 4.2% annualized, right? So that means that it will destroy half your value in 17 years. Or whatever is priced right now will double. So the 4.2% is a nasty inflation rate. I mean, you know, that means everything's going to go up. It'll be doubled in 17 years. It's terrible. And so we're seeing it. So it's even kind of put the skids on the market because the Federal Reserve knows that if they see their target is 2%, they'll allow it probably go a little higher. And the Federal Reserve came out and said, oh, it's transitory. We won't see it for long. Really? Biden's talking about another $1.9 to $4 trillion in infrastructure spending. That's going to go right into the consumer, through the companies, and then into paychecks. And you're seeing companies having to pay more for wages. And that is going where? To the consumer. So I've always said, you know, where government money goes, so goes inflation. And you're going to see it. I mean, I'm telling you. I heard on CNBC, some guy forecast 20% inflation is coming. I can't tell you what will happen to the economy if that happens. But right now, the market is a little scared. The Federal Reserve, if it sees inflation, has one way. Well, they have a couple of ways, but it all centers around doing one thing to try to solve inflation. And that one thing that they do is to raise interest rates, make the cost of money more expensive. Make the cost of money more expensive. Now, if they raise rates, many things happen that will cool off inflation. One, because bonds and savings accounts and interest-paying investments compete with stocks. When they pay 0 or 1% like a savings account, you all go into stocks to try to make some money. But if rates start to climb, people go back into out of stocks because they're risky. They can be risky. And they go back to guaranteed payments like your grandfather used to be. You know, he used to have bonds and everything at 6% and live off of that. But fixed income people can't live off that anymore. But if rates start to go up, money starts to come out of the stock market. That's the first thing that happens. Two, borrowing money becomes more expensive for both businesses and consumers. That means that people are going to hold on to their money a little bit more, and they're going to raise rates to loan it out. So not only do the feds raise rates, now if the consumer is asked to loan his money to bonds or whatever else there is, he's going to demand more interest, which makes it more expensive for everybody to borrow money, which again causes inflation. Because if it's more expensive for a business to borrow money, they're going to raise the prices and pass it on to you. That's what they do. So the other thing that happens with interest rates, it makes borrowing money on margin for stock purchases. Margin is when you own a stock account and the brokerage firm loans you money to buy more stock than you have money. That's margin debt. That will get more expensive. So anytime we see debt get more expensive, things slow down. Oh, I'm not going to go buy that car on a car loan. Oh, I'm not going to go buy that house because now the house mortgage is too expensive. And I'm not going to go buy that house because now I can't afford as much as a house because if the interest rates go up on mortgages, then my house payment is going to be more expensive. So when things get more expensive, people don't invest much. They don't spend as much. And then there's a wealth effect that gets affected by that. If the market goes down, the wealth effect is when my stocks are going up, I feel richer, so I spend more, the wealth effect. So if the stocks go down because competing interest rates will take money out of the stock market and demand for businesses will slow down because people won't use as many credit cards and everything gets more expensive as interest rates rise, so loaning money gets more lucrative to those that loan it, but those that have to borrow it have to pay more. Then we see a general slowdown in the economy, and that's what the feds would be after if they raise rates. There are other mechanisms that they can use that will slow down the economy, but they all revolve around getting the money to more expensive, or they have other programs that we've covered in previous shows that I'm not going to really get into what they call repurchase agreements too much here, called the repo market. But basically, they feed money into a big pot where businesses and corporations and hedge funds and pension funds can go in and borrow money overnight. The repurchase agreement, the repo market. And so that becomes a little bit more expensive. And so it slows down. Everything slows down. And that's what the Fed's really trying to do, is to slow down inflation. So we're going to see. That's what's coming down the road. I think more inflation's coming down the road. And I think that the Fed's, through the unemployment department, is competing with for getting workers. So inflation cometh. Okay, that does it for this edition of Money Matters. You have been listening to show 328, The Unemployment Puzzle. And of course, discussions on this show should not be construed as investment advice. The opinions expressed here are my opinions only and do not necessarily reflect those of this station and staff, management, or underwriters. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. And I hold California insurance license OL34249 and am a Medicare approved agent in the state of California. The website address, if you care to send an email, is news@moneymanagementradio.com. Again, everything there is free. We don't charge for anything. And like I'd end up with every show, I guess I'll say, have a great day and go make some money. My name is Mark Cunaberdi. Thanks for listening. Don't